This land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. Tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. No.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour here on this absolutely terrific sunny blue sky Thursday, February 19th, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers. Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. One of the things that I asked for was a little feedback input from you guys up in the UP regarding Congressman Jack Bergman, this race, Justin Michael, challenging him in the primary in August. State Senator Ed McBroom coming out publicly withdrawing his support of Congressman Bergman. And I got four text messages during the top of the hour break. Not going to mention any names, not going to say anybody's location, but these are all from Republican primary voters listening to my show. Many of them, I know for years, they've been texting me. Part of it, I have them stored in my phone, but I'm not going to mention any names. I don't trust Jack. I never have. But this is the last straw for me. For him to be playing games in the 38th Senate District totally offends me. We know who we want to be our state senator. We don't need to be told who to vote for by Congressman Jack Bergman. Another couple of text messages, basically the same. I've never seen him in district except during an election year. The other fourth text, I don't believe he lives in Watersmeet. I've been by that property, and it doesn't even appear that they've even plowed the snow in the wintertime. Driveway is completely covered with snow. So those are some feedback from you guys. Appreciate the text messages. Bottom line, this is going to be a very interesting discussion tomorrow, 9:15 to 9:30, with his opponent, Justin Michael. If you, too, live in the UP and you're listening to the repeat of this show tomorrow morning, let's see, it'd be roughly 7:10 in the morning. Send me a text message. Let me know your thoughts about this recent flare-up controversy between Congressman Jack Bergman and Senator Ed McBroom, two state representatives, Carl Bonack and Greg Mark Cannon. in their support of David Preston to replace McBroom in the 38th Senate District. Kind of interesting. And would not be surprised to see that Beau LaFave has hired Tony Liss, Congressman Jack Bergman's chief of staff, via his consulting firm. So we'll be following this story. Very, very interesting development, and would like your opinion. Again, if you live in the UP, what's your take on all of this? And are you going to support Congressman Jack Bergman for re-election, or is five terms enough? And send Justin Michael to run against the Democrats in November. Also, he participated in a candidate forum last week in Gaylord with the Democrats. I'd like to get his perspective on how that went. Tomorrow, again, 9:15 to 9:30, Justin Michael will be here. Short break. We'll be right back.
Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing: people, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Gaylord. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens in Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Second segment, hour number two, Lansing. A lot of stuff happening down there now that they're back full-time in session. The House Health Policy Committee watched a demonstration yesterday showing how quickly surgical smoke can accumulate when a cautery device is used without a smoke evacuation system. Presentation was regarding House Bill 4779, which would require health facilities performing smoke-producing procedures to develop and implement a policy to clear the air of these surgical areas. When they cauterize human tissue, there's a smoke that comes off of the device. Well, during the demonstration, a representative from the medical device company Stryker used a Bovi cautery device inside a sealed container to simulate what occurs in an operating room when tissue, human tissue, is cut or blood vessels are cauterized. Within moments, smoke filled the enclosure. When the smoke evacuation unit was switched on, the plume was captured right at the source. State Representative Pauline Wenzel, Republican, who sponsored the bill, told the committee members that the surgical smoke plume contains 16 EPA priority pollutants and more than 150 identified chemicals. The testifier, former state representative Ben Frederick, who's now from Stryker, compared the amount of smoke generated over the course of a typical operating room shift to be the equivalent of smoking 27 to 30 cigarettes, one right after another. Frederick added that the research indicates that standard surgical masks do not adequately filter the microscopic particles found in the surgical smoke. Another testifier, Ellie Kircher, a certified operating room nurse, described headaches and respiratory irritation that she believes was caused by years of inhaling the surgical plumes. She told lawmakers that while many facilities have smoke evacuation equipment available, it's not always consistently used. This bill would establish a uniform safety standard, rather than leaving the use of the equipment to the individual discretion of the doctor. We have been breathing this problem for too long, and it's time to clear the air. I don't understand why the doctors wouldn't want to use those. I mean, if nurses are inhaling this stuff, so are the doctors. I mean, that's not even logical. That doesn't even make sense. However, Frederick told the lawmakers that according to a survey data cited during testimony, 97% of operating rooms in Michigan already have the smoke evacuation equipment available. He estimated that the capital equipment cost ranges anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 per unit, and with disposable attachments would cost between $14 and $23 per procedure. There was also those who testified coming from more of a neutral position. Jessica Rodriguez and Kara Atkinson, members of the Michigan Ambulatory Surgery Association, said they support smoke mitigation, but urged flexibility in how the policies are written. They said some lower plume procedures may be appropriately managed and alternative mitigation methods could be used. One of them, for example, could be an inline HEPA filter. Rather than mandated smoke evacuation pencils for every case. The two pointed to the demonstration shown earlier, suggesting that it was misleading because the cautery settings used appeared much higher than what's typically used in common practice. They said the smoke levels can vary by procedure and disagreed with the price points that were mentioned earlier during the hearing. Lawmakers asked about regulatory oversight. Is this really necessary? Also discussed the potential for implementation timelines. Testimonies indicated that other states have enacted similar requirements, which effectively start within 6 months to 1 year after passage of the legislation. So we'll see where this goes and whether or not this bill gets any floor votes and whether, in fact, it even makes it through the committee. Now, in other business committee hearings, the same committee heard testimony on House Bill 5302. This bill, sponsored by Jay DeBoyer, would revise funding parameters for certified recovery community organizations. What is that? Well, the RCOs are supported through grants, through a combination of state dollars and opioid settlement funds. They are independent, nonprofit, peer-led recovery groups that are not clinical providers and therefore not eligible for Medicaid reimbursement. The bill would remove an existing $150,000 cap and establish a minimum $250,000 grant as part of the operating budget. It also would require reporting to the legislature's Committee on House Oversight. So, two of the proposed bills being heard in the committee yesterday regarding House health policies and two bills, House Bill 4779 and House Bill 5302. So if you're interested, you can look those up. MyVote.org. MIVotes.org and just put in those bill numbers. Additionally, House Judiciary Committee yesterday, different committee parts of Lansing's building, heard testimony on two bills that would create a new life offense for delivering drugs other than marijuana that cause serious injury to people consuming the drugs. Committee generally agreed that additional work needs to be done on two bills, House Bill 5157 and 5158. These were sponsored by Republican State Representative Tom Kuhn of Troy. The bill's concerns include ambiguity in the definition of, quote, serious injury, end quote, and potential scenarios that could mean some individuals unfairly could face a penalty of life in prison. Democrat Kelly Breen of Novi, it seems we could litigate the hell out of these bills. Where did the definitions come from? Are you willing to make it maybe a bit more structured so that there's not so much gray area? Well, what is she talking about? The bill would define serious injury as permanent, serious disfigurement, or serious impairment of health and or body function. serious impairment of body function could also include the loss of limb, loss of a foot, hand, finger, or thumb, loss of an eye or ear, or any other organ. Where did these bills start? What's the issue that triggered these? Well, Anthony Buffa, Director of Government Affairs for the Oakland County Sheriff's Office, approached their state representative, Kuhn, and said that the department is willing to tweak the bill, which came at his department's request. He noted, however, that current language they took was very similar to legislation that's been passed in Florida, Texas, Missouri, North Dakota, and also is included in federal statutes. Breen asked, what would define a loss? Hypothesizing that if someone who falls and breaks a finger that becomes permanently disfigured, would that be considered a loss under these bills? Well, if the drug that they were given, again, other than marijuana, sounds like prescription drugs to me, if they're prescribed something that causes them to be hurt, we're trying to accomplish if an injury can be directly attributable to the drugs they received. Heather Cole, a private citizen who opposes the bills, agreed that the current language is way too ambiguous, and such crimes are very, very disproportionately impacts people of color. What? What does the color of your skin have to do with these bills? She testified that the language needs to be tightened up so that it does not affect a specific set of population. I don't understand the relevance of that statement in any way, shape, or form. State Representative Sarah Leitner, who chairs the committee, questioned Kuhn on what would be considered a minimum penalty. We've had a trend where life is not a real thing, Leitner said. Breen and also State Representative Doug Wozniak also questioned the causation. Kind of interesting the way this bill is being presented out of Oakland County. Also, talking about black and from Detroit, State Representative Tyrone Carter, a former law enforcement officer, said the bill would not stop the delivery of drugs. And he believes that a 20-year maximum sentence would be perhaps a better starter than life in prison. It's been my experience that drug dealers don't want to harm others. They want to keep their repeat customers. Okay, so now we're talking not prescription drugs, but black market drugs, other than marijuana. So cocaine, heroin, meth, whatever. I guess this is what they're going after. We'll follow these bills as well. Little Inside Lansing sausage making for today's show.